Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and today is a little bit different of an episode because I get to actually interview Kristen. Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm a little, not nervous, but I don't know. I'm usually not on the side of being interviewed. We are usually doing the interviewing. And so it's going to be different.
So our topic today, last week we talked about contentment, or last episode, I should say. And kind of coming off of that, Kristen really wanted to have a conversation around singleness. And I was like, well, okay, I'm gonna let you write it. So she did. And then as she was writing it, I was like, you know what? I think it'd be really helpful if I just interviewed you and just kind of let you talk from your heart a little bit. And so she said, great. And so that's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna interview her on the topic of singleness.
Side note, when I was telling Matt what we were going to be talking about, he said singleness. He goes, well, what are two married women gonna talk about singleness for? He was like, oh, from two married women? I was like, yes, I am married now, but I was single for a very, very long time. So while I am currently talking from a position of being married, singleness and the struggle in singleness is still very near and dear to my heart and still very close.
Yeah, because you've only been married, it'll be a year this month.
A year this month.
So newlyweds.
Still very newlywed.
So you have 36 years of experience as a single person. And I think you have a lot of wisdom. I know we have talked extensively, you and I, about this. And so I'm really kind of eager for people to hear your heart behind this. So why don't we just start off with you maybe just sharing your story?
Yeah. So most of you know, because you kind of went through it with me, but I didn't get married until I was 36. And a little backstory behind that, I really didn't date a whole lot in high school or even in college for that matter. I don't know. I always had this idea that I didn't need to be married, and so I didn't need to date yet. And that kind of carried me through my mid-20s. I was focused on friends and family, and I would have gone on a date with someone if they had asked, but it wasn't a focus for me. It wasn't like we went to BBC, and there's a lot of jokes around that about women, you know, going and getting their MRS degree or ring by spring or your money back. And I know there's a lot of that type of culture in a lot of Christian colleges, right? In Christian universities, like that's a big focus. But that really wasn't a focus for me. And that was the same through my 20s and even into my 30s. But by my early 30s, I started to get nervous. It was just like, okay, like, what's going on? So I literally distinctively remember having the thought, well, maybe singleness is my life sentence. Like, maybe that is what it is. I was living in Dallas. I didn't have any friends around me at that time. Or I didn't have any family around. I will say I had friends but my closest friend was 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And I spent many weekends there driving those 3 hours there and back.
Yeah.
I was trying to get involved in church, but I was finding it really, really difficult. And I just kept thinking, like, how am I going to meet someone? And this may or may not have been when I started to spiral and panic even more. And so that ended up leading me back to Ohio, not because of that, but some different circumstances led me back to Ohio. And I found myself just in that same spot again of not knowing how to meet anyone. I by that point, I don't think I'd even started dipping my toes into online dating or anything like that. It was more just this idea that if I went to the right church, there would be someone there. And so, and that's pretty much one of the only ways that you do typically find someone, especially if you're looking for a strong believer, right? And so I got involved in a great church and had a thriving singles ministry. And yet I still found myself on the older side of that singles ministry because I was in my early, by this point, closing in on my mid 30s and just wasn't finding anyone. Found f fantastic friendships out of that, but never just really anyone that I was like, oh, that could be someone that I want to pursue or that I would like to at least get to know better. So it was during this time that I think, not I think, I know I really started to be confronted about my beliefs about singleness and marriage and God's sovereignty. And I kept asking God, so if marriage is the norm, then why am I still single? Right. I looked around and I said, man, everyone around me is married or gets married very young. Or, I mean, out of my senior class, again, small sample size, right? We were 15 of us. But out of my senior class, most everyone had gotten married within their in their early 20s. There were just a handful of us that were single, maybe even later, and even in our 30s that we were single and going to college, it was the same way, right? I saw a bunch of my friends that I came in as a freshman with. They all just got married and started their lives together. And so there was this this idea that if this is the norm, and I had heard in church and truly believe that marriage is a good thing and that God instituted marriage and that the family is good and you know all of those teachings, then why am I still single? And I started to kind of feel like this is really unfair. I mean, God, you told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And in order for me to do that, I need to be married. Like, so this is really unfair because I can't do that. Like, I can't be a part of this. And so then with that came a lot of the feelings of being left behind. As I said, many of my friends were getting married and on their way to starting a family. And it was great to be walking alongside of them with that. But that it still didn't take away some of those feelings of just like, but when is it my turn? And then that's when a lot of times those conversations for me became, what if it was is never my turn? And that was a hard question. And that's a question, even with some of my other single friends, you know, even as I was navigating this, I remember specifically talking to a friend and saying that. And she was like, oh, I'm not ready to ask that question for myself. She was like, I am not ready for that. And I was like, I don't think I'm ready for it, but that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm asking, what if it's never my turn? And that really started this whole pursuit and God really meeting me at that time of him truly saying, okay, you say that I am your Lord, I am your everything. So if marriage is not something that I have given to you, am I still enough? Is and that's why we wanted to do this after our contentment episode, because it goes hand in hand, right? And so I really started to have to ask some questions and dig deep into scripture and what I believed about God and realizing that there were things that I believed about God that weren't true, that weren't right. And so having to relearn those things that I needed to believe about God rightly. And that's really what started a lot of this and kind of coming, like I said, to a forefront of if marriage is never in the plans for me, I'm okay. because I know that it's for his glory and my good. And
Yeah,
that is his good and his best for me.
I remember specifically, like literally where I was at when I was talking to you. And you made the comment, you said, God only gives me his best. And you said, he will not withhold any good thing, which is what we'll talk about this in a little bit. But I remember thinking at that time, I think it's really easy for people to be like, yeah, I'm okay. This is okay. Like, this is God's plan. But you don't feel that like really in your bones, you know? And I felt that was the first time I was like, oh, like she's got it. Like she, this is like deep in her that God will, he will not withhold any good thing, what he deems good. And so if that's not marriage, then that's not what's good for you. That's not his best for you. And as we know now,
Yeah, we know the other side of the
as
story.
we know now, yeah, but like a lot of times it doesn't always end like that, which we'll talk
No.
about as well, and so it's really
It's
coming
not a
down.
it's not a guarantee.
Yeah,
And that was one of the things that I struggled with as well, of like, I don't want to, it's so easy, I feel like, to fall into like a bargaining chip aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I think we'll talk about this as well, of like, well, if I say I'm content, or maybe we talked about it in our last
We
episode, if I say
did.
I'm content, now it's your turn to give me the thing that I said I was content without having. And that's really easy to slip into. Like, it's just, even if you
Yeah.
go into it with best intentions of not, it's just really easy. And so it was hard fought. And I would always, when we would have conversations, or I would have conversations with other people, they'd ask me, how are you doing? How's your heart doing? And I would sometimes say, today I'm good, or
Yeah.
this moment I'm good. I can't guarantee tomorrow that I'll be feeling the same way, or that I'll be thinking the same way. But it was a daily battle for sure, and sometimes an hourly battle,
Yeah, for absolutely.
to rest in that.
I think I don't think I know a lot of our audience and many of our listeners are single, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, some have children and are divorced. And I know that, there are so many thoughts and questions that really plague their mind. Like questions like, Lord, where are you in this waiting? Am I walking this alone? Am I going to be single forever? And some of these answers or some of these questions we can answer, like, no, obviously. We would tell you, you're not alone. You're not walking alone. You're never walking alone. But some we can't answer. And so I think the question that I really want to ask you is, how can singles, because everything that we say on this podcast, we lay it before the word of God, everything that we do. And so how can singles apply the gospel, like the good news of the gospel and the truth of God's word to this hard season of waiting, wrestling, trying to find contentment?
So I think, first of all, is knowing that, or allowing that, the waiting, it can point you to the hope of one who is greater. So first off, just reminding yourself of that. Even the most God-fearing husband can't love you to the extent that Christ does, because
Yeah.
no one is exempt from the worldly brokenness that it was brought on by the fall.
Yeah.
There'll be times that a husband may push away from you, or he may fail to be loving, or he may fail to be a faithful companion. Those are possibilities. And so it's remembering that it's not his job to be Christ for you. And so let the waiting point you back to who he is and who Christ is. Marriage is definitely a good thing that was created by God and full of so much joy, but it can't solve all of our problems or offer us what only Christ can give. That is hope for the greatest joy to come in one whose plans and whose character are greater than our own. It's where your hope in singleness should rest, not in a salvation from singleness, right? Our hope is not in no longer being single, but our hope is in Christ because we know that He is the greatest joy. We know that God will never disappoint. He holds you closer and loves you more and is the most constant companion. And one day he'll return to call home his bride, the church. And just like we might wait for a husband, we wait expectantly for that day when one who is greater will come.
I
So this is,
love,
go on.
sorry. I was going to say, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but like you just mentioned his bride, and I love how that, like, he's called the bridegroom, but Jesus was single. And I love that analogy. We'll get to that. But yes, we are his bread.
We are
So,
his bride, and that
yeah.
waiting for, like, just like we, and I'm talking primarily to women because I know that that's our primary audience. So just like you're waiting for a husband, all of us are waiting for that on a much grander scale. Waiting is not unique, and this is one thing, waiting is not a unique thing to just singleness. And it's something that everyone experiences at different levels. But I remember hearing that and thinking, okay, but they get to wait with someone else. Like sometimes, and that is true and that is valid, right? Like I'm not gonna say
You're
that
not alone in your waiting.
no, exactly. And sometimes there is a sense of loneliness in there, and we will talk a little bit later about some of that, but just know that the waiting is not unique to you, even though sometimes it feels like you're the only one waiting.
Very alone, yeah.
Which segues us into a little bit more about waiting. Let the waiting draw you closer to Him. And it's so often through seasons of waiting that we learn more about Christ's heart for us. We come to know Him in ways we might not otherwise have ever known Him. And we draw closer to Him than we might otherwise have ever come. A lot of times in those times of just longing is when God draws us closer to Him. And we learn that God's heart is for us is one of a provider, providing all that we need in grace and mercy in our struggle, strength, and wisdom on our path. We learn that His heart for us is one of a kind friend who walks beside us in our sadness, encouraging us along the way as we seek Him in His word. We learn that He cares about us and is the author of every detail of our lives, and we can remember that the work He began in us, He will see to completion.
I love that verse.
Even through our tears of singleness, He works to make us more like Himself. As we learn more of who He is, we can then begin to mirror that character in our lives to those around us, that they too would come to know the one who is greater and draws near.
Yeah, what I'm hearing right now, and I don't think this is talking about singleness, but not only, like, this applies to all seasons of
Right.
waiting, like you
It's
said. So
true.
far you said waiting can point you to the hope of one who's greater, and the waiting can draw you closer to him. And so what I'm hearing, honestly, is like right now you get more Jesus, which is a beautiful thing. Even when it's hard, right? It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And so often we find ourselves incorrectly thinking that Jesus isn't enough. Like that really is what it ends up coming down to. And I think most would not audibly say that, but in the way that they live, in the way that what they pursue, it is okay. I know how you have Jesus, but that's just not enough. I want this other thing. And so one final thing in talking about waiting, and this is a little bit more towards singles specifically, allow this time of waiting, make room for a ministry of serving others. We can use our past or current season of singleness to minister to those around us. We can find joy in recycling our pain for a greater purpose of pointing others to our Savior, whose hand is active in every part of our lives. It's important to remember that through every chapter, He's working. For as long as this season of singleness may last, whether it's for a moment or, as I said earlier, for a lifetime. If you're at that point where you're asking the question and saying, well, maybe singleness is what God has for me, just know that it will surely find complete redemption when Christ returns to us, his bride. Today, we can use the tears that fall from our own eyes as balm for others, coming alongside them as Christ does for us in our own waiting. Through service to others, our words and actions may remind them of the hope we know in Christ, and our testimony sing of the greater one to come. I think it's, I don't want to bypass the extraordinary things that you have as being single. And the one of those things is time. It's a luxury to only have yourself to care for. And I'm talking to those that are single without kids, right? I know that there are some that listen that do have kids and don't have that extra time. But if you're single and don't have kids and it's just you that you're focused, you have to focus on or that you have to care for, being single affords you time that other people often don't have. I'm not saying that you need to overextend yourself in serving the church or serving others.
Boundaries are healthy.
Boundaries are good, and but singleness does give you more free time. That's just how it is, as well as flexibility. I mean, I remember when I was single, there would be no problem for me to be able to, a friend call me up and say, "Hey, you want to go do this?" and drop everything and be like, "Yeah, sure, let's go." Now it's not so easy. I have a husband and I have to see what he's doing and, balance everything. So being single allows you some of that time to be able to serve your local church. Just some ideas of how to serve. If people are like, "Oh, well, I'm single, how do I serve?" Often we see married couples serving and not often do we see many single people serving. So you may not be sure of how you can serve. And so I would encourage you to talk to the leadership of your church of how you could serve. But some other ways is ministering to young mothers. Just because you don't have kids doesn't mean that you can't minister to young mothers and maybe come alongside and go with them to the park, and get to give a young mother some adult time to talk to an adult. Or watch some kids for a family in your church so that they can go on a date night if they haven't had a date night in a while. Befriend the widows of your church. I'm sure there are widows in your church that would love to be able to talk to you and just come alongside and befriend you. And you'll gain a lot of wisdom from them, I guarantee you. Or help disciple young believers. These things are all things that absolutely, as someone who is married, you can still do. Just singleness gives you a little bit more of that time and flexibility and money to be able to serve and come alongside of people in different ways.
Yeah, that's such a, I can tell you as someone who has received the love and the ministering of single people as a mom, it is such a gift and such an encouragement. And you are literally helping like strengthen not just me, but like our family. It's like you have a hand in strengthening a family from a tired mom, a lonely mom, a marriage, like you said, people who really just need to go have a date night and like maybe reconnect. Being able to step into those spaces is really, really sweet. And I can tell you, it is a huge gift. Let's talk about contentment again. We talked about it last week, or last, I keep saying that. It was not last week, last
Last
episode.
episode.
And purposely, when I was kind of floating around the idea of contentment, you had already kind of planned this out a little, and you were like, hey, let's do contentment first, like purposely. Because, that's a really big thing, I think, in singleness. And so I would love for you to maybe, we talked about, like we said, contentment last week, but maybe talking specifically about contentment in singleness.
So as we mentioned before, singleness is just one area where many struggle with contentment. But it is a big one, and contentment plays a big portion of I don't want to say how you single well, but how you live as a single
Steward
person
your
and steward
single
your
ship.
singleness well. Singleness well.
Singleness, yeah.
But I wanted to read Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 that says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And it always strikes me that it speaks of his mercies being new every morning. Not that he's giving us mercies that have to last us a week or a month or years, but they are new every morning. So the question then becomes, can I be content today? It's not about thinking forward of, but can I be content for a month? Can I be content for a year? It's, can I be content today? And it applies in so many more areas, but just for this episode, right? We're zeroing in on singleness. Can you be content in singleness today? Not with a fear of what next month or next Valentine's Day or next Christmas Day will bring, but being content today, because God's mercies are new every morning, and he will give you the mercies and the grace to be able to do what he has for you for the next day. So don't borrow that worry or anxiety or fear of what the future is going to be when you're dealing with today. So it's kind of helping you focus on, can I be content today? When you start considering singleness on a today only term, it feels a lot less frightening because you have a God who knows you, who hears you, and loves you. You have his promises to enjoy and speak back to him, and you have handfuls of gifts from his hand, a church family, friends, a home, a job, all of these blessings that he's given. And so if you're able to stop and being content being single today, you can be content being single tomorrow when that becomes today. And the day after that, and all the days that follow. Why? Because God's mercies are new every morning. He will be tomorrow all that you need him to be. In 30 years' time, he will be faithful. In 50 years' time, he will not fail you. Whether you're single or married, God will prove himself faithful day after day after day. But contentment won't come from staring at the fact of your singleness, but from lifting our eyes to a different horizon, beyond what ifs or if onlys of the next few decades, to the wonderful certainty that is thundering toward us. Even the best marriage is only ever a picture of what lies ahead for every Christian.
Oh, I love that.
And I know we keep talking about it, but it's true. And it's just a small glimpse. It points to a time when the bride of Christ, the church, is brought to meet her groom and enjoy a truly permanent relationship of love and intimacy with him.
We talk a lot about idolatry on this episode. We had two episodes on it and we've referenced it multiple times. So if you're just joining us and this is your first episode, maybe a friend recommended it to you, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to our idolatry episode. But marriage is not exempt from that. Can you maybe talk a little bit about how we can use marriage as an idol, like how it can easily become something that we worship?
Yes, I can. I think because unfortunately, not only us as individual Christians, but the church in general, can have a sometimes an unhealthy focus on marriage and idolizes it to a point of where those who are single end up feeling like they're nothing because they're not married. The church and in culture, really, it's very easy to make it an idol and turn this good thing of marriage into an ultimate thing, into a thing that is promised. And I think that was one of the things that I struggled with early on. And in thinking through and talking with Shanna about it, was going through what has God promised me? And unfortunately, that's not a spouse. Like when we read through his promises in scripture, it's not a spouse. We were talking before we even started the episode about how I had made an offhand comment, I think, and it landed with Shanna because I think she has raised her kids a little differently because of it, of how, like, even as little kids, right? We watch, especially little girls, watch Disney movies, and there's always a Prince Charming at the end. Like, there's always, and I'm not, mind you, I don't want to come off as like a singleness feminist, like, rah, we can do it all, but it has always been built in that marriage is a given. It's always going to happen. And I think the point when some of my thinking and language started turning to not when I get married, but if I get married, because I don't know if I'm going to. The vast majority of people are going to get married, but I can't say for certainty that I'm going to. So we, that's a little bit of a tangent, but because it's just wanting to help people understand how much culture, like the world culture and then Christian culture as well, can just build up marriage as if it's a right, as if it's a promise, and as if it's the ultimate thing to go after, to pursue, and as if it is a level of spiritual maturity that we've attained. Trying to choose my words wisely, but it really, really, really still to this day frustrates me because I think many in the church tie marriage to spiritual maturity and that you can't serve in this capacity because you aren't married. And I think that is undercutting a lot of gifts and wisdom of people, single people in the church just because they aren't married. Because a ring on your finger does not mean that you are more sanctified than another person. Does God use marriage to sanctify you? Without a doubt. But he also uses many, many other relationships in your life to sanctify you as well. It's almost as if, you know, as I said, that you can achieve a higher level of sanctification through marriage. But he also uses that difficult to get along with coworker or your politically obsessed crazy uncle to sanctify you just because you're not in a just because you're not married doesn't mean that God is not sanctifying you in many other different ways.
I think I wanted to touch on something that you said because it's so true. I do think of all these Disney movies and Prince Charming and all the things, but I think definitely looking at it through a lens of a parent and raising two kids, I think I have realized how much marriage is idolized, and it is a good gift from God. We're not saying that. And it's not wrong. I would even say it's good and right to teach your kids how to be a good spouse, how to care for one another, what marriage means. Like, they need to learn those things before they become married. All of those things are important, but I do think we can't paint marriage as the ultimate goal. And so framing it as like putting framework around that, I think, is really, really important. And so, and you are the one who's literally helped me like walk through that. And so I'm really grateful for these conversations that we're having, because I think that it's really important.
Well, because if you're raising your kids as the ultimate goal to be marriage, you're setting them up behind the eight ball if they do not get married, because now they have been pursuing this one thing of the ultimate goal of, and I mean, growing up, it was for women, it was being married, but also having kids and having a family was the way to be the good Christian woman. And that's not what's taught in the Bible. Our first and main aim is to glorify God, no matter what circumstance we're in, right? Paul tells us that. I'm convinced that in whatever circumstance.
One of the catechisms that I've taught my kids is like, what is our only hope in life and death? The answer is not to get married and have babies. It's to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. And so that
And so
is,
that.
as our we've had Elizabeth Woodson on here before, and as she would say, we have to keep the main thing.
Exactly.
You're
Because
right.
if not, I mean, even take it out of being marriage, if we think that working and getting a certain number in our bank account is the main thing, that's going to fall flat if and when we get there. And that's the other thing is that if our main focus is not glorifying God and bringing him glory, even if we do get married, we're going to find that to fall flat because it hasn't satisfied us. Marriage was never meant to satisfy us.
Exactly right. I think one of the last questions I want to ask you're doing so great, sis. This is really
Thanks.
good, really good.
I've never been interviewed before.
I think this is one of we cannot end this episode without maybe speaking to the church. Big C Church, big family. I would love to hear like maybe some advice on how to care well for singles in the church. So a lot of this episode has been talking to singles. But right now I want to talk to maybe, I mean, they're literally everywhere. Every church is going to have them. And if you don't have them, then you're not a thriving church. So I'm just gonna say it. I want to speak to Big C Church on how we can love and care well for those who are unmarried.
So the church should be a place where singles feel welcome and important. Sometimes, though, an overemphasis on marriage by believers can make singles feel unwelcome. So it's really important to emphasize their necessity in the local church and the part that they play in the local church. So some of those ways is to make them feel seen. We should be intentional in making sure singles are welcomed. Let me tell you, as a single person who has found looked for churches, one of the hardest things is to gather the strength to make the walk in from your car into the front doors of a church that you know no one at. Because, and I remember talking to my brother about this. He's like, but I've got like my wife and I've got the kids and we're trying to figure out, like, we make a big whole spectacle of coming in sometimes. Told me a story about him like coming in late and hitting his head on a cabinet or something like that, and like made everyone look at him. I was like, yeah, you've got that. I said, but I have no one beside me walking through those doors. Like, it's just me. So as you see single, if someone comes in by themselves, greet them, invite them to sit with you, spend some time just chatting with them, and don't automatically default to, are you married or what, things like that. But this also doesn't just end on Sundays, right? It's good to have those happen on Sundays, but it can't just stop there. So take a moment in your week to text or call someone that's single that you know. Check in with them, ask them how they're doing, how you can be praying for them. Invite them over to your home for dinner or coffee. Helps them be seen. And it helps, you know what? It also helps them learn what a family looks like. Especially if they're a young, in their 20s and they haven't been exposed to a lot of Christian families, that's how they learn how a husband and wife interact with each other. That's how they learn that they start seeing how to parent, how to be godly parents, is if you invite them into your home and allow them to see the day in and day out things, not the polished side of you, but just the day in and day out
Real
things.
life.
Yeah, real
I
life.
think a really good example of this, I think I remember I was, my goodness, I think our day-to-day conversations that we have now every day, we literally talk every single day, and I love that, started though mostly during COVID because you were at home, everything was shut down, you were very isolated, your church was closed. I remember specifically you were just like, let me just go and like sit in the sound booth for a live
It's like I
recording.
won't look at anyone.
Yes. But then you had friends. Was it Rebecca?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You
I
had
had my friend
friends
Rebecca.
who her and her husband invited you over and you sat and watched online church with them. And I just
Yeah,
thought
we
that was like
watched.
such a sweet way to love you, like in that time, because
Yeah.
it's hard, you know? And I think they really made you feel seen and
For
loved during
sure.
that
For
time.
sure. And we joke around because like the first time I went over there, I didn't want to like impose. So as soon as like
The most
the service
Kristen
was
thing to do.
over, I was like, all right, I think I stayed for like 10, 20 minutes and then I left. And I was like, I want to get out of their hair because I don't want to be in. And then I think she had texted me later and she was, or maybe the next week I went over there and she was like, well, you can stay longer. I was like, oh, okay. I just didn't want to impose. And so then it turned into like me going over there at 10 a.m. and not leaving till like 4 or 5. It was like an
The
all
whole
day
day thing.
affair. Then we would like go and do gardening. Her and I would garden outside, or we'd paint a fence, or just different
Yeah.
things like that. But it was exactly what I needed in that time.
Yeah.
Make me feel seen. Another thing is make them feel included. So it's easy to only spend time with those who are in the same stage of life as you.
Yeah.
If you have young kids, it's easy to gravitate to those that have young kids. And most of the time, this is unintentional, right? And
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. Time with people in your life stage is good. But it's also helpful to reach out to those not in your life stage, and include them in your life. It could be someone who's single isn't invited to a wedding shower or a baby shower or whatever it is. And it might give them the impression that their presence just doesn't matter. And we need to remember that every person matters in the kingdom of God. And we can say that, but our actions sometimes will belie that. As the body of Christ, we reflect the inclusive nature of God by intentionally inviting and including singles into our community. When you make plans with others, invite a single person to join. When you gather together for parties or showers, make sure you invite the singles or have them help plan. Even if they decline, just that invitation communicates to them that their presence matters. Another one is make them feel important. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, All the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. The body of Christ is made up of members who are uniquely gifted to contribute to the building up of the church.
Yeah.
God has also equipped singles with gifts that are vital to the flourishing of the church. And when we choose to only give serving or leadership opportunities to those who are married, we can prevent the singles from exercising their necessary gifts. And
Yeah.
so, as the body of Christ, we need to encourage singles to use their gifts.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think like to kind of add on to that. I think that's a really good, like, we as a church can make them feel seen, included, and important. But also maybe just like a little word of warning. If we're not careful, we can unintentionally cause singles to feel identified by their relationship status. You know, we're using the term a lot, singles, 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 but as the body of Christ, we have to be careful not to perpetuate that mentality that single people are less than because they're not married. So instead of shining a spotlight on their relationship status, we should be shining a spotlight on their giftings, on their talents, on their skills. And I mean, what a great opportunity to come alongside people and like encourage them and empower them. I just think, man, I was talking to someone today at lunch. I was like, we're recording an episode on singleness in a few hours. And I was just kind of discussing a lot of this. And I was like, you know, I truly feel so thankful for the church that I'm in and how many singles are on staff at my church. Is wild to me. And they are, I mean, like flourishing and so great in their giftings and everything. Like our church is so blessed to have them. And just to think if we only hired people who were married as if that is some elevated status of maturity, how, what our church would be missing out on. You know, like I think. As I was like kind of thinking through this, you always see, okay, I had a shirt, first off, at BBC 2003. It'll be 2004 because it's Valentine's Day. I had a shirt that all the single people got. I don't know who started this. I eventually gave it to my brother. I don't know where it is now, but my shirt said Jesus was single too. I am mortified to think about that now. But as I was thinking through this episode, I'm like, that is true, right? Like Jesus was single. The Apostle Paul was single. And man, like Jesus, he is our Lord. And when we look at Paul's life and ministry, we can't say that they were lacking anything, right? Well, Paul was a fallen human, but their ministry like flourished, right? Paul was an elder in the church. He started churches. He was discipling people. He shared the gospel, man. Like, I don't think anyone would say that he wasn't qualified to do certain things because he was single, right? Jesus said, he said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. And he didn't like add like a dot, dot, dot. They'll have it abundantly when they have kids, when they're married, when they're about to retire to an island like the Bahamas or something. No, he said, they will have life abundantly in me. And I think that's so important to remember when we're talking about the gospel and we're talking about like what Jesus said. He did not say that you'll have abundant life just because you're married and have kids. He said, you're going to have it in me because I'm what's best. I was listening to a podcast recently, and the guest, who is a single parent, shared that she finds herself at times almost shaking her fist at the Lord, saying, man, if you just bring me a husband, not just for me, but for my boys, for them to have a man in their life, that would mean so much to me. Like, why won't you just do that? And she said, I felt the Lord just kindly saying, hey, if that's what you needed, and if that's what those boys needed, then I would provide it. I don't withhold good things. I don't handicap you to make your struggle worse or to make life harder. Everything I do has a purpose. So entrust your soul to me, like, trust me. And then she went on to say, you know, for a long time, I wrestled with my place. Like everyone in marriage gets to really display God's covenantal love. But like, what do I, as a single mom, what do I display? She said, I felt like I took a back seat and was really missing out on something. And then she said, I remember the Lord just teaching me that singleness is a place for me to display his sufficiency. And man, that hit me like as a married woman, that hit me so hard. Because I'm like, what a sweet way for you to display that he's enough. I think I just want to end by saying, hey, friends. If you're, are you single? Then you are called today, like Kristen said, to singleness. You have to live today as unto the Lord and where He has you, and not spend it in a state where you're always longing for something more, always looking down the road. I think it's okay to have that desire, but you have to lay that at the Lord's feet. And I don't think either of us are saying, hey, don't have that desire to be married.
Right,
We're
no.
not saying that. We're saying, hey, ask him, take it to him, pray, but hold it with an open hand, knowing that God is still good, even if he doesn't give you marriage. He's still good and he's enough. So, don't fixate on getting married so much that you move, that you cannot move forward with what he's given you right now. You'll miss out on the blessings and the gifts that he has for you today. More than anything, more than marriage, more than singleness, more than motherhood, the gospel gives us our primary identity that transcends all other identities, right? It's an identity through which we live out everything else. We live out our singleness, we live out being married, we live out being a parent. So the gospel is the good news. As we always say, it's the best news for the single person and the married person because our identity is rooted in who we are in Christ. So, in the gospel, we talked about this earlier and I said I was going to get to it because I love it so much. In the gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom. Kristen read that earlier. And I think that it's such an ironic term for someone who lived on the earth as a single person, but it Kristen said it multiple times. It points to the marriage that will ultimately take place. Jesus is the perfect bridegroom who pursued and loved a bride who was not faithful to him. He chose to give himself sacrificially and willingly for his bride, whom he loves, he nourishes, he cherishes, he sanctifies, and he transforms. So, I mean, I'm thinking of maybe people who are divorced or could be single for many different reasons. There's still good news for everyone who's been hurt by marriage or even never married. And it's like literally an out of this world marriage that's waiting for us, in which we will be reunited to our true bridegroom. So, I don't know. I just think for those who are single, whether it's for a season or a lifetime, like Kristen said, you can live today faithfully and you can live today resting in the true hope of this future marriage. Even now, as you testify to the sufficiency of Christ in your singleness. And I'm going to end with this quote by Sam Alberry because I love it. He says, marriage shows us the shape of the gospel, and singleness shows us its sufficiency. I love that.
That's a good quote.
Hey, it's a great conversation.
It was.
You did great.
Thank you for indulging me in my rants about singleness and the church. And
No, there's no
hopefully
doubt.
I hope that this was helpful.
Yeah.
I hope that it was encouraging. That's always what I want anytime I talk about singleness is to leave people being encouraged. To leave people, if you're single, knowing that you're not alone in it, knowing that this isn't unique to you. But knowing that we're meant for something greater, and it is not marriage, as great as it is. And I know I can say this on this other side. I almost wish we could have done this earlier when I was still raising the singleness banner, because I remember, hearing and being like, oh, yeah, you're saying that because you're married now. And so you look back on it fondly. But friends, it wasn't that long ago. And
11 months, technically.
the pain was is still fresh. And marriage is wonderful, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I also wouldn't trade the years of singleness for the world either, because it taught me things about God that I don't think I would have caught any other way. And things that I'm still, as we discussed in our last episode, and you guys got a rare glimpse into the tears of Kristen.
Doesn't happen
but
often.
that it doesn't happen often, but there are things that the lessons that you learn and can learn in singleness are going to continue to serve you, even if you get married or if you don't, like no matter what life stage you end up in, it's still going to be useful. So yeah, that's it. Well,
All right, friend.
friend, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.